Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing question mark, Millennial Ben.
All right, it's presented by Brakes Plus in front of Joel Klatt, who will join us here in just a moment. Looking forward to that. People are bringing up inertia and weight wind resistance. I'm not going to get into that.
Yes.
I'm just going to go with the text that says, God, you're both idiots. let's just ride with that one, huh? I like that one.
I think that's fair.
I think that's fair.
I think that one's
I
fair.
Think that's a good one.
I don't think I'm a lot dumber than you thought that I think that I thought I
all
was
right,
once.
Let's get to the question of the day.
Ooh. I like it.
Let's see. I got to find a good one. There's one. Mark, can you see Mount Palumbus from Mount Pompous? Mount Palumbus is not on I Told You So Island. There's only one mountain on I Told You So Island.
Mount Palumbus isn't a mountain. It's Tyler because he's 6'12".
That dude is tall.
He is really tall. Vance Joseph would have loved to coach him.
Yes, he would have.
So how does Palumbus look at right tackle?
As a team, we're getting tall.
Yeah.
You know, winning's tall.
Winning's tall.
That'd been the greatest t-shirt ever.
He's a tall guy.
Winning is tall.
Winning is tall. All right, let's just, I'm looking.
By the way, we did make that one up. It's not a real.
What?
Yeah.
We made that up? Are you telling me that sometimes we edit things to make somebody sound bad?
No. That was real.
Cue the Elway one.
I hate Elway.
Yeah.
My heart.
Yeah, go. That one's
there's
real.
Your,
that
there's one's, your example.
There, right? That one's real, for
there
sure.
All
for
right.
Sure.
Okay. Let me just, I'm looking for one. I'm not seeing one.
I really don't care.
Not a great day for questions.
Really?
Yeah, just not gonna, I'll tell you what, I'm gonna come up with one today here.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Our own Millennial Ben wrote a blog at DenverFan.com.
Okay.
In which he said Teddy Bridgewater could pull off one of the great comeback stories, not only in Denver sports history, but NFL history. When you think about where this guy was, nearly lost his leg, and yet he's worked his way back to the point where he's starting the quarterback of the Denver Broncos. My question to you is this, because Ben brings up a good point. All joking aside, he brings up a good point. Why hasn't Broncos country embraced Teddy Bridgewater more? Because it is an incredible story.
It really is. It's because the bill of goods that Broncos country and Broncos fans and just NFL fans in general have been sold is this fantasy football brand of football. It's all about throwing the ball. It's all about 100% about the quarterback. It's all about wide receivers. It's all about, you know, points per reception leagues. It's all about, like, that's what people think football is. People think football mirrors fantasy football. That's what they think. They don't understand the intricacies. They don't understand the nuance. They don't understand all the things that go into actually performing on a football field. They think it's legit fantasy football. So what they want is hope. Young guys give you hope. Young guys inspire a franchise. Young players, young quarterbacks, you forget, or you don't look at, or you don't even think about, or you don't recognize that since 2017? Not one? Is it since 2017?
No, between 2009 and 2017.
Between 2009 and 2017.
23
quarterbacks were drafted in the first round. None are with their teams.
Tell your little friend that too, by the way. Remind him of that.
I mean, like these are guys that you counted on to change your franchise. In 2018, there were 5 quarterbacks taken in the draft. 2 of them are not with the team that drafted them anymore. That's 2018, guys. This is 4 years later. your franchise quarterback that you drafted is playing for somebody else. One is playing on his first fifth team, I believe.
Yeah, and Josh Rosen.
Josh Rosen.
You're absolutely right about the people are drawn to the promise of youth and potential. I totally get it. And you know what? If at almost any other time in the Broncos' history of timelines,
mm-hmm.
Teddy Bridgewater and his story came along, I think people really would embrace it. But
can you make this quick? I got a meeting.
Yeah, hold on, Joel. You got a guy that is once again being propped up and sold as a great underdog story,
mm-hmm.
a rags-to-riches story. Come on, we've had a never-ending parade of these guys, from Trevor Siemian to Case Keenum, Joe Flacco, Brock Osweiler's return.
Correct.
You know, it's just quarterback after quarterback. Like, hey, it's going to be different here. This guy's going to shock us all. He's going to change the
narrative. Can you make this quick? I got a meeting.
All right. Joel Klatt, presented by Audi Flatirons, joins us now. Good morning, Joel.
Good morning. What's going on, fellas?
Well,
how are you today?
We're doing great. Let's start right with Teddy Bridgewater. He won the job. Do you like the choice?
Yes. I mean, I've said this a couple of times. I think that Denver's roster is very good. I think that the defense has a chance to be one of the better defenses in the league. I think that the offense has to complement that. You know, I think one of the things that you have to do as a coach is that you have to identify your strengths. And that's vital in order for you to find success. And, you know, I don't think teams succeed because they have no weaknesses. Now, maybe great teams, okay? But I don't know if any team in the NFL is great. And because of the parity in the league, you know, and I think you guys would agree with this, there are no teams out there because of the salary cap that have no weaknesses. But I think teams do succeed when they identify their strengths and then they build game plans and habits and identities around those strengths. And I think that Denver understands that their strength is going to be on the defensive side of the ball. I think, if I'm not mistaken, they have the most money in the league tied up in their secondary as a percentage of their salary cap. So you got to play to that. Well, why am I talking about all that? Well, because in my estimation, you've got one guy that's kind of a safe operator of the offense. Is it sexy? No. Are the fans going to be like, oh my gosh, I love it. It's like PFM all over again. No, obviously I don't think that that's the case, but you've got to play to the strengths of your team. And Drew, I don't think does that. While he might be a little bit more flashy, he's more inconsistent. I think that he's going to turn the football over to a higher degree, which is why Teddy Bridgewater is the choice. So as much as it is a battle just between those two, I also think it's a battle between those two within the overarching framework of the team, which I think fits Teddy a little bit more.
Yeah, I can't agree with you more. I think the great NFL coaches I talk to not only maximize their strengths, they mitigate the weaknesses, you know? And they won't attack somebody if it exposes one of their weaknesses. They'll find something else to do. And those guys, to me, really understand the game in totality, what you're talking about, complementary football between, hey, let's lean on our defense and make sure we don't screw it up on the offensive side of the ball. Now, there have been a lot of people here in Denver that look at, you know, this draft is a big mistake. They took a great football player in Pat Surtain, but they said, hey, we need a quarterback. Let me ask you about what's going on in New England. Did you see this kind of meteoric rise for a guy like Mac Jones?
Well, as you know, and we talk about a lot, I think that the most important part about finding success in a first-round draft pick at quarterback is the fit, you know? And I think it's the one thing that we maybe gloss over the most, and we just look at, well, what's his talent and this and that. But the fit has to be there, and when Mac Jones went to the New England Patriots, I thought that was the best fit possible. You know, there was talk and speculation that maybe John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan were going to look at Mac Jones, and I think that they were intrigued with him. There's no doubt. But of all the talented guys, even Trevor Lawrence, who I think is just exceptional, and a lot of these guys are exceptional. You're seeing that play out in the preseason. Even then, nobody played the game faster from a mental standpoint than Mac Jones, right? Like, he was operating on a little bit of a different level when it came to timing and efficiency and accuracy. And I think that that's what gravitates towards a Bill Belichick style of football team. And so I'm not all that surprised. And I do know one thing. The dude is ultra competitive, and he's not afraid of a challenge. Why else would you go to Alabama as Mac Jones, knowing that you're just going to have a parade of five-star unbelievable recruits in front of you? And it's just like, listen, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to bide my time. And then when I get my chance, I'm going to put up one of the greatest seasons in the history of college football. So, I mean, he's a bit understated, and he's very confident. And so I'm not all that surprised. And I do think that that's one of the best fits in the draft from last year.
But why is it only a fit in New England? Because these coaches move around, these hotshot coordinators get opportunities based on their systems and the idea that, hey, hire me and I'll bring my system to town and everyone's going to love it. You can't tell me that the New England system is so, so outside everything else that we see in the NFL that it can't be copied elsewhere. And quarterbacks like Mac Jones couldn't thrive many other places other than just New England.
It's a great question and a very good point, Mike. But I don't think systems are all that different. There are some guys that can be more creative with the way they use personnel, the way that they attack matchups. I think that's where the brilliance of an offensive mind comes in, because everyone's running similar concepts, right? There's no secrets out there. Everyone can see it on film. No one turns on the film and is like, oh my gosh, this is groundbreaking new stuff that we're seeing. We don't see new stuff. I think when it comes to great offensive minds, you think of things like timing of play calling, the ability to manipulate your own system in order to gain the most advantageous matchup that you possibly can. And the guys that do that more consistently than others are considered the better offensive coaches. Now, having said that, here's what is different. Is the standard by which you hold your players accountable. Okay. And I believe, while never having actually like played for those guys, when I talk with guys that have played in New England, the standard that is held within the coaching staff in terms of the detail that you have to play with is higher than other places. See, there's an old adage that as a coach at any level, and if you're a coach at any level, and I'm not talking about peewee, so, you know, just relax if you're sitting in your car right now and you're a peewee coach and you're like, oh my gosh, he's talking to me. I'm not talking to you. If you're a coach at, you know, like high school and college and the other levels, it absolutely was. Just relax. Take it easy. Take a sip of coffee and just let the kids have fun. Now, if you're at a little bit of a higher level, here's the thing. As a coach, what you see on the film, you are either coaching or allowing, period. Okay, that's kind of like the buck stops with you adage. Let me repeat that. As a coach, what you see on the film, you are either coaching or allowing. And it goes to what I'm talking about the standard of detail that is held within that organization. I believe that the standard by which they hold their players in terms of the detail that they play with is higher than other organizations. So when you go there, Mike, the difference isn't just like, is the system best for me? But if I'm a highly detailed player, I'm going to thrive under that coaching staff versus a coaching staff that's more loose that maybe wants more splash. Okay. So to me, I think that it has to go and it goes towards the direction of expectation in the coaching staff rather than the actual system of the coaching staff.
Why is it? Like, why is it that, and I've said this forever about the Broncos in general, this is one of my big takes on why Teddy should be there. Like, Teddy can teach guys how to actually prepare like a professional. And I've always looked at the Broncos from a cultural standpoint here in the last 5 years. And I've said, you know, as I travel around the National Football League and watch practices and talk to players and talk to coaches, is they think they're working hard. They think they're preparing hard. They think they're doing it the right way. But I'm telling you, go other places and you're like, wow, there's a large gap. Why is there such a large gap? Is it just the head coach? Is it the organization? What, in your opinion, from a cultural standpoint, is missing from some organizations?
Oh boy, that's a great, you guys are coming with some great questions. Can I back up for a second?
Yeah.
Before I talk about like what's missing? Because when you're asking that question, I immediately thought to myself, if you're a person, and this goes in everything, my industry, your industry, guys, like, Mark, what we do,
mm-hmm.
If you're in the business world, anything, okay? Now I am talking to you if you're a peewee coach. So everybody in your cars, wherever you're at, your cubicle, if you're just getting up, you're okay, but you need to hear this probably more than anybody else. if you think you work hard and are never told that you're a hard worker, then you're not a hard worker. That has to be something that is a label put on you from the outside. Those that tell you they work hard or think they work hard generally don't. And those that are observed from the outside and people say, wow, that person is different. They hold a different standard. Now, I think that the difference is, I think the difference is when I'm around football players, there are guys that love the game so much that they're like a sponge, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have this drive to be better. And it's never about a minimum. It's never about showing others how hard they work or how long they're in the room or what it. They just have a drive. Here's a quick story. Okay, so my neighbor is a guy who played in the NFL for 7 years. He was a tight end, primarily for the Browns. His name was Evan Moore. Played at Stanford. Evan's an amazing guy. They've become one of our best friends. Well, Evan also played for the Packers for 1 year early in his career. And it was one of the years that Charles Woodson first signed with Green Bay. And he said, you know, Charles was on one of those deals where it's like, you know, he's towards, you know, he had played a while, if I'm not mistaken. And so, you know, if he was banged up a little bit, you know, they wouldn't make him practice. And Evan at first thought like, man, this is kind of weird. You know, I thought Charles would be like one of the harder workers or this and that. And then he was like, and then I realized that it wasn't necessarily about what Charles was doing, running around in some individual drill that wasn't going to matter on Sunday. Every time he saw Charles Woodson in the building, whether they were watching film, whether they were eating, whatever he was doing, walking into a team meeting, he had his iPad and he was watching film the entire time. Okay. And I guess I tell that story because I think Charles had an overriding spirit to be as prepared as he possibly could. Okay. And I think that there are guys out there that are like that. If I knew exactly why some were like that and why others weren't or what the key magic was, you know, I wouldn't be on with you guys because I would be doing something else that was more impactful in the world. That's why it was such a good question. I don't know, Mark. I think it's innate. I think some people just are more professional than others. Yeah, I think maybe it boils down to, I'm just thinking out loud here, rambling on. Maybe it boils down to, you know, there are those that love football and those love being football players. And I think there's a vast difference between the two.
Vizzy with Joel Klatt, presented by Audi Flatirons. Which of the two, Justin Fields or Mac Jones, do you think has the potential to make George Payton look bad?
Oh, man. Well, judging by their organizations and their offense and their current situation, I would say Mac Jones. I think Justin is more talented than Mac Jones, but I think that the Patriots are in a much better place than the Bears. I think both of them could have some success. But I think that, you know, I think it's going to be really tough for Justin Fields with Nagy, because I think Nagy is going to force him onto the field earlier than he should be forced onto the field as a way to try to save his own butt. Whereas Belichick's, you know, I mean, he's going to try to put Mac in the best possible situation to succeed, period, because he's totally solidified in New England. And I think that they have a little bit of a better roster than Chicago potentially. So I would say Mac Jones, but both of them have the ability to have everybody in Denver, you know, wish that they were in a Bronco uniform.
Yeah, I think both guys are pretty talented. It'll be interesting to see exactly kind of that progression and how they go about that. When you're developing a young quarterback, Joel, and you're letting that guy play, you know, there's this conversation going on right here nationally. What's best, to let the guy play or to let the guy sit and kind of learn? How do you go about that? What are the key factors in your mind about the transition from the college game to the NFL game for a quarterback to have success?
I think a lot of it is what offensive system, how they cut their teeth at the college level. There are guys that show up in the NFL and they're much more prepared to play right away just because of the systems that they ran in college. There's such a gap. Like in the NFL, everyone runs something similar, you know, which I was alluding to prior. And in college, though, Mark, there is a chasm between offensive systems. There are some that are so simple that they're basically a glorified high school offense. You know, the quarterback doesn't have many reads. He doesn't have to learn much language. He doesn't have to verbalize that language in a huddle. Audibles are held on the sideline and not out on the field. There's only one or two protections. And then there are some offenses in college football that are just very in-depth. You know, that's why I think like Mac Jones, Justin Fields, like these guys were in offenses that are going to lend themselves towards having success. I think Trey Lance is similar to that. I'm not sure about Trevor Lawrence, but I think he's bright enough and good enough where he can overcome the gap there, because Clemson's offense is not as sophisticated as like Ryan Day's or Steve Sarkisian's from the college level. So it's a big gap. I think that's one of the biggest things, is that mentally it's such a difficult thing to go in and be prepared enough to not have to think about the offense. Because one of the things that you're trying to do as a quarterback, and really any player, to play as fast as you possibly can, the offense just has to be an extension of you. You can't be thinking of the offense. It can't be something that you're trying to go out there and like think through and operate through. It has to be an extension of you, like all of us driving a car, right? We put on blinkers without thinking about it. You hit the brake without consciously thinking about it. You have to be able to operate an offense without consciously thinking about it. It has to be an extension of yourself so you can just go out and react to play your fastest. Well, in order to do that, you have to have cut your teeth at least enough, a requisite level, to understand an offensive system at a depth in which that you can just go out and react. So I think that's the biggest difference in guys that can go into the NFL right away. Not saying anything for the fit and the roster around you. Listen, I think it behooves young quarterbacks a great deal to go to a place where the whole roster is ready to play. I think Denver would have been a really good place for a rookie quarterback this year because they've got a good defense. They've got some things and pieces, a great wide receiver core. You see some of these, like Trevor Lawrence may struggle, guys, and part of the reason is because the Jags are just really bad. I don't think Darnold had any ability to succeed with the Jets because the Jets were so bad. Look at the revolving door with Cleveland for as many years as they had until now. Baker has kind of settled that down. Why? Because their roster got much better. So first is just the mental aspect of what system you're coming from and what that allows you to do and how quickly it allows you to learn. And then what the fit is and the overall complementary pieces are around you when you actually get on the field in the NFL. I think those are the two things that are really the equation of why or when you can have success in this league.
Last one for me, Joel. Is it time to admit that the Scott Frost experiment in Lincoln is a failure?
Boy, that was a atrocious performance. Atrocious. And they were the better team than Illinois. Yeah, I mean, listen, it's headed that direction, and it's getting nasty up there, by the way, because I don't know if you read a couple of weeks ago, there was some talk about the NCAA now looking into Nebraska, and there might have been some infractions with Frost. Well, now it's starting to leak out that may have been an inside job leaked to the NCAA from, you know, somewhere around the program, so that if they need to get out from under that contract, they wouldn't have to pay the buyout. If they can get some sort of sanctions, they can fire him for cause rather than without cause. So So it's getting really bad up there moving forward, and I don't see a way out because that's the exact same style of game that we've seen them lose over and over again. Close game, so many, you know, shoot yourself in the foot moments in that they can't get over.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Nebraska. Well, this whole college landscape's a little bit different.
Yeah, who you got this weekend?
I am currently sitting in Minnesota. I've got Ohio State, Minnesota tomorrow night on Fox. And then on Saturday, I will head to Madison as Penn State and Wisconsin tangle. So we'll double dip this week, boys.
Wow, don't.
That is cool.
I wouldn't be able to do that.
No.
Especially college with all the players and stuff. I'd be talking about a Wisconsin dude while I'm calling a Ohio State game. Yeah, I have Mike texting me going, dude, you're on the wrong team. We're on the wrong team. You got the wrong board out.
It's so funny you say that. I was working on both games yesterday and I had a dream. I literally had a nightmare that I was sitting in the booth tomorrow night at Minnesota. And I had put my Wisconsin Penn State chart in my bag, and I'm staring at it, and I'm like, "No!" I woke up and I was like, "Oh!" I was kind of like sweating.
I am glad that we both have that same, that same paranoid kind of those paranoid dreams, because I that's exactly what happens to me all the time. I have those same dreams.
We assume CU will take care of Northern Colorado on Friday. So next week we'll get a little bit more into CU as they get ready to play Texas A&M. Jimbo Fisher now being paid $9 million a year. More ammunition for the idea that maybe these college players ought to get paid a little bit more when you see the coaches making $9 million a year.
Yes. Guys, and it's fully guaranteed. It's absurd. Unbelievable. $9 million for Jimbo Fisher. When's the last time you won a division championship at Texas A&M? I'll wait.
All right. Thank you, Joel.
Later.
Joel Klatt. Wow, what a weekend, huh?
Yeah.
Ohio State, Minnesota, and then, what was it, Wisconsin and Penn State, did he say?
That's cool.
Yes!
That's cool. Yeah, that is.
That's a good weekend.
I tell you what, the exact same freaking nightmares I have.
Yeah.
Show up somewhere and you don't have anything or you haven't been prepared or you're looking at the wrong thing. Well, what? This is this game? Yeah. I thought it was this game. Yeah.
Or your poor button is under extreme duress.
That's not going to happen.
All right. We shall see. All right. Thank you to Joel. Coming up next, did Joel unwittingly make Mark's point? That's next.
Nope.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Ran a little long there with Joel, but he's always worth it every week.
Sure.
Great insight.
Yes! Absolutely. I love the thought process of playing, and it becomes innate for you. And this goes, he was talking about quarterbacks, but this goes to any position, Mike, where it's just like it's something you do without thinking about what you're doing. You're so prepared, and you know it so well. Like how many times... And he used this analogy, but how many times have you driven to work and you pull up in the parking lot? You're like, man, I don't even remember the drive. Like, I was so focused on what I was doing and I was thinking about something, but I'm so used to making the drive, right? That I just got there. And I think that's the difference between guys who excel, guys who are on time, guys who are accurate. They don't think about it, they just know it.
In this case, I think he was trying to make one point, but he unwittingly went a long way towards making
my point.
Your point.
Yeah.
And this is what he had to say.
I think Denver would have been a really good place for a rookie quarterback this year because they've got a good defense. They've got some things in pieces, a great wide receiver core. You see some of these, like Trevor Lawrence may struggle, guys, and part of the reason is because the Jags are just really bad. I don't think Darnold had any ability to succeed with the Jets because the Jets were so bad. Look at the revolving door with Cleveland for as many years as they they had until now. Baker has kind of settled that down. Why? Because their roster got much better.
So it's the chicken or the egg theory here, right? What comes first? And for the idea that go get your quarterback. You got to have the quarterback. Quarterback raises all boats.
Right.
Does it? Or did he sort of make your point about the whole idea of roster building?
Well, I think, you know, I don't think there is like any right way necessarily to do it. You've got to do it however you feel as an organization in whatever your direction is, how you feel best about what you have. And so, yes, to be successful in the league, to me, you have to have a great roster. You've got to have great talent. You've got to have great work ethic. You've got to have all those things, right? And you put a quarterback into that situation, and that guy's going to excel. There's a reason that from 2009 to 2017, not one first rounder, 23 taken, not one of them are with their current teams, because most of them went into really crappy situations. They went into rosters that weren't very good. And that's the end result. That's what happens to you. So me personally, I always feel like, hey, a great football team, a great roster is going to make up for a multitude of sins and make it much easier for a young guy to come in and have success.
So do you really need, if you have that, do you really need special at the quarterback position?
Here's the thing. I don't think you need special athlete. You need special decision maker.
Okay.
Right? And one thing he said about Mac Jones that resonated with me more than anything else, because when you look at Squishy Mac, you know, there's nothing that says special athlete.
He's squishy.
But special processor. Said playing the game at a speed mentally that most can't. And that to me is the difference between good and great, between okay, we'll get by, and between this guy's a franchise player, is how quickly can you go through that mental process? How quickly do you learn, and how quickly you recognize on the field and recognize to the point where you don't have to, it's not like a math equation. You know, you ask me math and I start going, okay, 17 minus 8. I don't know, care the one.
Clearly, what we learned today is I'm
all right.
Really need to brush up on my math.
A gallon of water weighs a gallon.
What? I'd like that one back.
Yeah,
please.
That one.
I'd like a mulligan, please.
Yeah, that's like an age well. But you know, what I'm saying is that how quickly can you process things into the point where you're not even thinking about it. You're just doing it, right? And I think players that don't process that way, they always ask other players, like, how did you see that? I don't know. It just made sense to me. And those guys have this, you know, this ability, this innate ability just to be good at that. And then also, as Joel talked about, you're just wanting to understand, like you want to understand the whole process, right? Like you're like the smartest kids are inquisitive. My 8-year-old granddaughter is brilliant. She's brilliant. And like I'll go, like she spends the night and, you know, she'll go into the spare room there and she gets herself, you know, ready for bed. And then I come in and talk and she'll be reading the encyclopedia. Like just like, oh, I just wanted to read about bees. What? Right? You wanted to do what? And so they're just like the most intelligent people are.
Mark's like, I wanted to play with your dolls.
Right. Exactly.
I was hoping we'd have doll playing time right now.
Give me that stuff.
Said you want me to read you the encyclopedia? Yeah.
Give me the stuff.
Boring.
But the smartest people just are inquisitive. They're naturally inquisitive, and they want to know kind of why. They want to know how the whole thing meshes together. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where we are.
Well, for the texter says, we have a great roster. That's why they should have drafted Justin Fields. I don't know. The more that we're learning about Mac Jones, if you really believe that this Broncos roster is built to win right now, then Joel said it. He said, you know, Mac Jones is probably the quarterback that's ready to produce now. As the years go down the road.
As Joel says all the time, Mac Jones coming out of college was already playing to some degree over the X's and O's, above the X's and O's.
Right. So if that's the case, then you probably should be banging the drum. But there's been a very dynamic, noticeable shift that has occurred over the last couple days that I want to point out. And we'll do that next. Somebody, very astute texter, listening to our conversation there about your 8-year-old reading about bees.
Yes.
Said, why the heck does Mark still have encyclopedias? Have you heard of Google, Mark? You have encyclopedias in your house, huh?
Sure I do, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Encyclopedia Britannica, or what do we got here?
Well, we've got a kid's encyclopedia. Like, they're old from, like, when my kids were growing up.
Okay.
You just don't throw out books.
Especially those books. Those things were beautifully made and everything like that.
I'll throw out books. By the way, my granddaughter came over last night. Rings the doorbell. She rode her bike over. Well, her mom rode the bike, too. They rode together. She rode her bike over yesterday. About 6 o'clock, 6:30 in the evening, you know, we're getting hunkered down. You know, the Schlereth, right?
Yes, right.
She comes over to, you know, watch a show and have some popcorn and take a bath. She's like, I just want to soak in some soap and some salts. She literally knocks on the door and says, hi, Bubba. And she goes, oh, by the way, I listened to you on the radio show this morning. And she goes, I have a friend that, I can't remember their friend's name, but she goes, she listens to you every morning and she would like an autograph. And I was like, Hope was pretty famous, though.
Yes, so, we rate very well among the 8-year-olds.
Yeah, the 8-year-olds, all third graders love us.
Yes.
Did we get a rating bonus for a third grader?
How do we rank 8+?
Right. Eventually, they're going to be buying stuff.
It's true. What does it say that 8-year-olds relate with us?
They like fart jokes. That's why we're big with 8-year-olds.
Wrecked them.
Damn near killed them. The 8-year-olds love that.
They love that.
They do. They think they think that's funny.
I mean, we operate on the same intellectual plane as 8-year-olds. So we relate that way.
Yeah,
that's good. That's good. Okay. So George Payton is going to be on with Nick and Cecil tonight.
Yes, that's great.
What did you say, about 7:30?
7:30.
George Payton will be on with Nick and Cecil. By the way, we got some exciting stuff.
Oh, yeah.
This is a great opportunity to mention what's happening here at the Fan. We got some exciting new changes that we want to let you know about.
Mm-hmm.
Starting, today, right after we're done here at 9, is it Chad and Nate or Nate and Chad? Chad and Nate. Chad gets top billing. I'm sure Nate can't be happy with that.
Yeah.
Wedge driver.
Chad Braun.
All right.
We're going to talk about that. Chad Braun and Nate show.
Chad and Nate coming up every morning now between 9 and 11.
Mm-hmm.
9 to noon. And then Sandy, about Chikabawa.
Mm-hmm.
Will be on nights with Sean Drotar.
Let it go, man.
Talk about encyclopedias.
Yeah, no
you
kidding.
You want to talk about encyclopedia... Encyclopedia-type knowledge.
Brain.
Yeah, just call that show. You should just call that show Britannica.
Yeah, boom.
Right?
Right. Two very smart people.
We'll be very
some dudes.
Vocabulary.
No, they're not dudes. They're not dudes.
No, the vocabulary. No, they're like Grey Poupon mustard dudes.
Correct.
Right?
That's right.
For sure.
That's right.
The vocabulary that you could get from just listening to that show, that you osmosis, just the process of osmosis that you would just... Like, now you're going to have to look the words up so you'd understand them.
Right.
And use them in the proper context. But you can just absorb a lot of big words.
Yeah. If we're like French's mustard, they're Grey Poupon.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with French's.
No.
It's delicious.
It is, but it's Grey Poupon's a little bit more.
Right.
You have
to go, yeah, you probably have to go to a different section of the mustard area. You know, you got the common section.
Right.
That's us.
Right.
Then you go to...
Right, very common.
Right. Then you go to the top shelf, where it's got like What's that? The brown groundstone or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's
gourmet.
Yeah.
That's gourmet. Yeah. So they're on 9 to midnight.
Yeah.
They'll be on. So there you go. So we look forward to that. George Payton coming up. George Payton saying that, hey, look, this is the division we play in. We play in there with Mahomes and Herbert and mm-hmm. Carr. You got to have really good DBs.
Right.
Boy, if that doesn't explain, for those who wonder, now I think ultimately came down to he had a high grade for Pat Surtain and not as high a grade for Justin Fields or Mac Jones. And had he had equal picks, equal grades, he would have probably taken the quarterback. But it does speak more to what this guy's vision is for specifically dealing with the Chiefs. Because
yeah,
you like to say, well, right now the Broncos have the fourth best quarterback in the division. Even if they had drafted Justin Fields or Mac Jones,
they still
would have had the fourth best quarterback in the division.
Right.
His way is thinking, look, I the best way to probably be able to compete with and beat the Chiefs right now is to build a really strong defense with a really strong secondary.
Yeah, and I think if you look at the way that defense was constructed before he got here, just look at it. What'd you have before he got here? You had two legit pass rushers. You had another guy in Malik Reed that was coming on, right? So you had some edge rushers that you know are good. Now if you complement that with a great secondary, he went out and got Darby, he went out and got Fuller, he drafted Surtain, you already had safeties, they re-signed Kareem Jackson, you already had a safety that you made a high paid guy. So the bottom line is you created complementary football within your own defense. You leaned on that aspect of your football team, which you thought overall was the best part of your football team, because your offense is young and somewhat unproven. So you leaned on that, and then you tried to build some offensive continuity. I mean, it makes perfect sense.
Somebody says, you guys aren't even a bottle of French's. You're the little packets of mustard.
Which is French's.
Yeah. Is it? Or isn't it sometimes just those, like,
generic?
Generic, like, Acme mustard.
Who do you think
makes... like little packets of Acme mustard.
Who do you think makes Acme mustard? French's.
Ooh, you think so?
Oh, it's white labeled. Absolutely.
White labeled?
Oh, yeah.
Says the man who owns a green chili company.
Yeah, when companies, big companies, basically produce for smaller, you know, like who do you think makes the, like, for instance, King Supers mustard, right? It's usually just produced by French's or somebody else, and they just white label it with King Supers.
White label, huh?
Yeah, that's what they call that.
Oh, okay.
There's a couple terms for it, but that's the term that just pops into
head. Who makes your chili?
Well, no, we make our chili.
Oh, okay.
But if we made our chili, for instance, like if King Super said to us, we want your chili, but we want you to make it in a King Super's label.
Ah.
We produce for them. It's called white. You get a white label.
I see.
So we've been asked to do that for, like, for instance, let's call it, Trader Joe's.
Mm.
Like, everything in Trader Joe's is Trader Joe's brand, right? It's white labeled by somebody else that makes it. It's the same stuff. It's just a trade. They may change an ingredient or two, but it's boom. Then they slap on the Trader Joe and you pay the Trader Joe price.
You know, somebody's saying this fits as a, what are we talking about? No. Don't play it. This has been very educational.
Yeah.
I like this.
Oh yeah,
learned a lot about mustard these last few minutes, and you know what?
Right,
I think we're all better for it.
Who doesn't want to know about mustard?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You're welcome.
Yep.
You are welcome.
Okay. Before we go, we had a special request. So the Big O is off to San Francisco.
Good for the Big O.
Yeah.
Good for the Big O.
Great opportunity.
I missed the party yesterday. I had a doctor's appointment. So I missed the party. So I'll have to reach out.
Well, I gave him a little hug before
we left. Yes, as did I.
And
it is a little hug because he's so slender.
You know, he's so skinny now. I'm like, get in here, you little shaver, you.
Right.
And he just kind of like, you know, I enveloped him.
Right. You wrapped your little stubby, and your arms are stubby.
But they went all the way around.
Why do you have to now make fun of
my arms?
Well,
when I saw you do that, I was like, those are stubby little arms.
Oh, God. First, it's the sausage fingers and the wispy hair.
They shoveled into the sausage!
Is there anything about me that you like?
I'm just looking at your arms and you...
Are they like Popeye arms?
No, they're a little... They're not quite as short as Tyrannosaurus Rex, but you got a little... You got a little Tyrannosaurus in you. So... Anyhow, I'm just letting you know.
Wow.
That's love.
Yeah, that's what I'm feeling right now. Nothing but love. So, as a sign of respect and admiration, we offer this salute and parting farewell to the Big O. Oh, you don't have it?
Oh, never mind.
Oh, well then can you do it? Because somebody asked for the Ed Orgeron LSU Big O cigar drop.
Oh.
You remember that one?
Yeah, I remember.
Take it easy on that cigar, Big O.
Take it easy on that cigar, Big O.
Yeah.
Better than the original.
Right, yeah.
Better than the original.
Yeah.
In this case, the sequel was better than the original.
Good for Big O, man. Congratulations. That is awesome.
Texter, don't forget about the two rhinos wrestling under a blanket.
Funny stuff there, Schlereth. All right, we're done. Here comes Chad and Nate. Nate, are we okay with Chad first on the marquee? Chad and Nate, they're coming your way next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.